This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey everybody, this is Cam Clark, the voice of Leonardo and Rocksteady of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And you are listening to the Canned Air Podcast. Check it out.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley, and I am alone in the studio this week because, people, we needed some time off. So we decided we're going to be taking this week and next week off to get some vacation time in, recharge our batteries, and come back bright and bushy-tailed, ready to give you some good new episodes. So we will be back with new episodes on April 10th. But instead of leaving you with nothing this week, I wanted to give you a conversation I got to have with the co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kevin Eastman. That's right. To our longtime listeners, you know that anytime I get a chance to talk with Kevin and get him on the show, I take that opportunity. And I think this is, probably the sixth or seventh time he's been on. And I got to tell you, man, every time is like the first for me. I'm such a Turtles fan, as you guys know, and getting to talk with him never ceases to be amazing. But what we're talking about this time is the first issue of The Last Ronin, Lost Years, which is the new series that has started. I believe by now there are two issues out, but at the time we recorded this conversation, only the first issue had come out. And what The Lost Years does is shows you the events that happened leading up to the events of The Last Ronin, and also the events that happen after the events of The Last Ronin series. So if you're not reading it already, go pick those issues up and get in on it while it's hot, while it's still happening, because I gotta tell you, this first issue already is awesome. And you know what's really cool too, is I've been seeing in the last week, since this conversation's been had, they've announced that there are plans to make a Last Ronin video game, which I couldn't be more excited about, along with the rest of you. It's supposed to be somewhat in the same style as God of War. I've never played any of those games, but I know they're very popular. And I gotta be honest, no matter what style they did this game in, I'm gonna play it. Come on, it's the Turtles, it's Last Ronin, I'm gonna be there. But until the time comes that we can actually get our hands on that game, be sure to be caught up on what's happening with The Last Ronin and with the new series, The Lost Years, because it's so freaking good so far. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Kevin Eastman, but before we get to it, I have to remind you, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And head over to CannedAirPodcast.com, where there's a button where you can get merchandise, t-shirts, mugs, hats, hoodies, you name it, it's there, featuring all kinds of different pop culture, Canned Air-inspired logos. There's like a TMNT-inspired logo, a Simpsons one, there's a G.I. Joe one, I believe, an 80s one, a Star Wars-themed Canned Air shirt. All kinds of different t-shirts for you to choose from there. And then over on Patreon, which there's also a link on our website for, where for $5 to $10 a month gets you access to a catalog, a backed catalog that stretches almost 3 years, if not more, of content we've been pumping on there monthly. So many different ways for you to support us and to get something in return. And once again, don't forget to check out evergreenpodcastnetwork.com, the network we're so very proud to be a part of with so many other great shows. And I think that's all I had to say and get out of the way. So without any further ado, let's cut over to my conversation with Kevin Eastman. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, man. It's been a few months, yeah. Hasn't it?
I know, it's like, man, where's the... suddenly it's 2023 and it's like, what?
yeah, I can agree with that, man. How have you been?
Very well, very well. No, we really wrapped up last year with some, fun projects and a bunch of loose ends, and then jumped into this year, and we're literally getting through a bunch of the important strategic stuff as we head into the convention season, which starts for us in mid-March.
Yeah, you've got a lot of conventions coming up this year, don't you?
Yeah, excited. You know, as we enjoy doing the, we love being on the road, and you know, for the we, you know, like anybody, we hate being away from home, but we love going out and seeing the fans and all that stuff. So yeah, it's all good.
And they appreciate it, believe me.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But we got to talk about the Lost Years, issue one, man. I can't tell you how refreshing of a read this has been. I mean, I knew we were going to be getting, you know, the story of Michelangelo and his solitude leading up to the events of The Last Ronin. But one thing I wasn't aware of is that we were also going to be getting, you know, we're going to be picking right up where Last Ronin left off with, you know, the new turtles like Odin, Uno, Moja, and Yi, kind of getting a preview of their personalities as toddlers, what the future might hold for them. But, you know, and on top of that, Casey Marie and April's struggle raising these four toddler turtles. But aside from that, looking at Michelangelo's story, I got to say, damn, man, this one really hit hard, especially just for issue one. You know, we see Mikey going from wanting to die to wanting peace and solitude to completely snapping and like killing his attackers off with no mercy at all. It's for an issue one, so gritty, and it looks like it could stand to even be grittier than The Last Ronin. I just wanted to know what it's been like for you taking this psychological dive into this character who's always been very lighthearted and sarcastic, kind of the party dude. Is it ever challenging for you?
100% spot on and well said. It's one of those things that, you know, when the start of and the evolution of all things Last Ronin, you know, the first series started, and what I had built out in my mind and feeding off what Pete and I had originally wrote, and then as Tom and I merged those ideas into one of our own idea, you know, Michelangelo, you know, to me there was never, and Tom agreed immediately, there was no other turtle but Michelangelo could be this character. And that was what was interesting for his story arc, is that, you know, everything we know about Michelangelo is completely different from the one that you're introduced to at the beginning of Last Ronin. So as we were going through creation of the Roninverse, there were many little pockets and little stories that we said, oh man, would love to go back and explore this and explore that. And the top of the list was The Lost Years, which was, you know, in after issue four, when Michelangelo goes to Japan, finds out what happened to, you know, Donatello and Splinter. And Watanabe passes on a journal to him, Splinter's journal, training journal. And, you know, he starts down this path of transition. And so we really wanted to show what it took and the hardship and the things that made it possible for him to even attempt to achieve what, we put him through in Last Ronin. So, so that was super important that we told that story. And that was a first, you know, top of the list. And then the idea of the, we call it the prequel slash sequel, of Lost Years, Last Ronin, Lost Years, was, you know, the four turtles that we introduced at the end of issue five. We had already named them. We had come up with specific personalities and what we wanted to do with them. And we felt this was a great way to introduce them, because the pacing that we set up in Lost Years, every issue takes place 3 years apart. So each time we see Michelangelo, it's 3 years later than issue one, issue two. So you see the new turtles issue, you know, age three, age six, age nine, so on. And so the idea being by issue five, they're 15 and it's a transition into Last Ronin two. So, but it's, you know, Casey Marie becoming the sensei, working off what Michelangelo taught her, as well as, you know, the journal that Splinter, his original teachings. And plus you have, you know, the original April as an important part of, you know, filling in all the historical bits. So, this is really, again, the prequel to issue one of Last Ronin, but the sequel where we're just teasing you. But once you get into Last Ronin two, it's that's where all the meat and potatoes, and you're gonna really find out what these characters are doing and what's going on.
That is one hell of a commercial. I can't already wait for Last Ronin two, man.
It's gonna be awesome. You know, it's funny because it's funny, because I talk too much, but I also always my wife laughs because I always give a lot of detail and stuff, but. You know, the process of Tom and I working and developing the story, because what I love the most about Tom, as I often joke, it's like, you know, three men and a baby stuff. We have, you know, me and Pete Laird and Tom as sort of one of the three men and the baby. These are his, you know, he wrote 100 issues for Pete's sake, and he's been as much a part of a turtle dad as anybody. Always. And so, but he's always a story first kind of guy. And like me and like, you know, Pete, and we, you know, if the story's something we like. That's our only barometer. It's like we, you know, we write it for ourselves and hopefully it will resonate. So that's been the magic of making sure this story works for us. And then hopefully it'll work for everybody else.
Well, good damn job. Success.
Thank you.
Another thing I've got to comment on is the artwork. You know, it's kind of a staple, you know, between, you know, from The Last Ronin to even going to Drawing Blood when reading your comics. You know, I love seeing different scenes or different periods in time switch between artists. And in this book, you know, we have Ben Bishop, who's illustrating the present, S.L. Gallant, I think that's how that name's pronounced, doing the past scenes. And then there was even a page where it shows Splinter's journal open up on like an altar with the turtle's weapons behind it. And that's done in your artwork, which I just loved because it seemed to me like it was an homage to the Mirage stories that had led up to where we are now. So I was wondering if you could just comment a little bit on the artwork.
Sure. It's actually, it's an interesting, it was like an accidental evolution when David Avalone and I had created Drawing Blood and we brought Ben Bishop on as the main series artist. Then I said, well, you know, because it covers this character's past, present, and future as well. I mean, past, present, future, as well as some hallucination stuff. And so we said, well, I'll do the original Duochade past story, but Ben would do the pencils on them. But then Ben would do the main heavy lifting on the rest of the story. And then Troy Little, who's incredible, who did the Ragdoll stuff, would come in and illustrate the, when our character in Drawing Blood is haunted by his creations, the Ragdolls. And it was a format that was super strong. And then, as we get into Last Ronin, it was not intended to be that way. Originally, it was one artist that we were going to work with, Andy Kuhn, and who had to step away for, you know, personal issues. And so even through the process of trying to make it work with Andy, I brought Ben with, you know, Dave and I talked about it. I said, well, let's bring Ben in because I feel like the main sequences are kind of the Dark Knight sequences, but then the flashbacks, I wanted to have that feel of you know, Batman Year One, a slightly different, softer sort of approach,
right.
But a, you know, proper flashback, which led into important bits of the story. And then you go further back, there was specific, you know, first person stories that I said, well, I'll do those because, you know, we can bring it back to, because everything's based, leans heavily on the Mirage Studios universe. So it was a very similar format and approach to both stories, but it worked, you know, happy accidentally well for Last Ronin. So that's what we wanted to continue, that format and that structure as we went into this. And that's what's going to be great about, you know, by the time we get to Last Ronin 2 is we will have the original team back together where we have, you know, the Scorza brothers and Ben, and I'll be doing stuff in that stuff as well. But yeah, the process is, you know, the three different timelines all connecting and being separate is a great format, a great structure.
I would have to agree. Done so well.
Thank you.
One more quick question for you. I know your time is
sure, very we got a little extra time if you need it, so don't worry. So
all right, well, my question is about Mikey's narration. When we're looking at his past, his narration doesn't seem like he's telling it in the present. It seems like he's telling it years from when it's actually happening, which kind of sounds to me, maybe I'm wrong, but like he's telling the story to someone aside from just the reader. Am I looking too far into this or no?
I try not to give any spoilers.
Oh crap!
Probably,
okay.
You know.
I withdraw my question.
No. You don't ever withdraw. No, it's because it's one of those things. It's like that kind of narrative works so well for filling the blanks because it is, like I said, it's like you're seeing Michelangelo's journey. You know, almost Tom and I base it a lot on, say, the Kung Fu. David Carradine Kung Fu TV series, which, you know, was originally a Bruce Lee thing. But the stories were not necessarily continuing week to week, that they would jump in time periods and they would bounce back to his flashbacks and things, which is that a lot of the, some of the original source inspiration. So when you had the Last Run and Lost Year's construction, like I said, you know, everything is 3 years apart from Mikey's journey to the kid's journey. We needed to fill in some detail and make sure, you know, you saw the parts and we're focusing on the most important parts in each particular issue. So it's something that will be resolved in issue 5. So you'll see what's happening in issue 5. It doesn't affect, because again, it's still, that part of the story is still a prequel to Last Ronin 1. So you'll see, we'll wrap that up. And then, you know, when we move forward in Last Ronin 2, there will still be certain flashbacks, often things that April will be telling to, you know, the youngsters and things of you know, their main inspirations or the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So it's sort of, yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but it's going to be super
fun. Understood. I tend to get ahead of myself. I know we're only on issue one, but thanks so much again for being here, man. Let's circle back around after some more of these issues are out, and maybe some of my questions will be better suited then.
No, it's great. No, that's what's funny, because, you know, Courtney's really great at organizing. You know, we try to get these press dates, three or four times a year when we can. Sure. and time it out, just, you know, schedule wise. But it's always good to keep the discussion, especially with regular, you know, we get to talk with you again and keep the narrative going, which is equally fun for me. I enjoy it.
Well, I always appreciate the time you give me and appreciate your work even more. So thanks so much, Kevin, man. I'll let you get back to work, brother.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again. And thanks. Cheers.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. All right, everyone. And once again, that was my conversation with Kevin Eastman, the co-creator of the Ninja Turtles. Really hope you enjoyed that. And if you don't know what we're talking about in this conversation, go pick up the Last Ronin comic series. Go pick up the Lost Years issues that are out. Get caught up, because you're missing out if you're not. It's a great series. I promise you will not be disappointed. And don't forget to check out Kevin at KevinEastmanStudios.com to find out everything he's up to lately, where he's going to be, if maybe you want to meet him in person at a convention, and follow him on Instagram at KevinEastmanTMNT. And don't forget to find us on Instagram at canned_air and on Twitter at CannedAirPod. And once again, CannedAirPodcast.com has the merch tab for you to get those awesome t-shirts, hoodies, hats, mugs, stickers, and the Patreon link, which gets you hours upon hours of extra content that isn't released to the public. Many ways for you to support us and to get something in return. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. Another big thanks to Kevin Eastman for being on the show. Once again, I am Jeremy Colley, and people, be excellent to each other.
From outside.
Blowtorch!
Whenever there's a fire in your house, be sure to get outside immediately. And once outside, get on CannedAirPodcast.com.
Well, thanks for the tip, Blowtorch, but just one question. What about the fire?
And no one is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
This has been a Canned Air production.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!